Welcome to Stories Told by Friends. I'm Dave Dirksen, your host, and on this episode, you'll hear from brothers Addison and Alexander as they tell stories from their childhood, focusing on family travel and other shenanigans that brothers get up to. This is the companion piece to their other episode, which focused more on their high school antics. That's a good one, too. Be sure to check it out. Okay, let's jump right into the stories. I hope you enjoy them. So when you were growing up, did you share a room? I think you had rooms side by side, didn't you? You never did share a room, did you?
We never shared a room.
I like my things a certain way. So I think, especially when I was little, whenever Addison would come near, it would be a call for help pretty quick.
That's right. Actually, I forgot that I was just seen as this tyrant around the house, even though I wasn't in my eyes, but in Alexander's eyes, like I was out there to mess with
him, wreak havoc,
and to hurt him, just like any older brother. But like, I never punched the guy or did anything like that. But like, I love to mess with him, like brothers do. And Alexander is very, very superstitious, or like you could also say OCD. But
we go with superstition.
That's what Alexander likes to say, superstitious, but I would say OCD. And but he likes his things a certain way, and like some, like instill in our friends, which is maybe bad now. That
they'll go into the room and start like moving things around and see if I notice.
See if he notices stuff. So like he has, like, you have your remotes a certain way, pointed a certain direction in his room.
I remember I had a Barney suit when I was little. And it was my favorite costume, Halloween costume. I was a big Barney fan. So I'd dress up as the purple dinosaur and everything. I know you and Conlon loved to mess with me about it. I had, like, little toys with it. Like, I was a major fan. I had the costume. I remember it was either you, I think it was you or Conlon. And I loved the costume. Like, even if it wasn't Halloween, I was wearing it around. I remember they would yank the tail a little bit. And
we spun you around.
Oh, yeah, you would grab the tail and spin.
And we'd rip him around and you'd be screaming, no, not Barney, not my tail. We go for a little 360 and threw him into the wall because the tail came off. And he hits the wall hard, face first, and Alexander bounces up, and of course he's crying, and we see the tail, and we're all laughing, thinking it's so funny, and and Alexander's running upstairs.
Oh, yeah, crying. I don't think I thought it was too funny.
No.
What else do we have here? You said stuff about vacations.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about basketball and those vacations. Like so many of our trips when we were younger, it would revolve around the NBA a little bit because we just loved Steve Nash, like so many young Canadians do. And we thought wherever, like, we need to go see Nash play because I was just obsessed with the Phoenix Suns and him. And we got to go to a game, a first one in Seattle, I remember, when the Supersonics were still a team. And they had Ray Allen and, like, Rashad Lewis and those guys. And we booked the tickets. And I think there must have been another reason. The game was a major reason why we went, but there was other things that we were doing. I think it might have been the end of a road trip or something like that. But we end up heading out there. And we're so excited, ready to watch Nash play for the first time. We got all of our matching hats and
we got jerseys.
The shirts, and even mom's into it because, like, just something
we
that
dyed
I care
our hair,
so much.
I remember even we got the orange, like,
no
hair,
way,
like the orange, whatever spray that you put in your hair, and as we got purple, I remember too.
Oh, I do kind of remember that actually, yeah.
And we had the shirts, we bought shirts, like everything totally decked out in Phoenix Suns gear.
Yeah. We're just excited to be there. And we go, and all of a sudden, before the game, Nash is ruled out. So things start going south. So we're like, oh no, like, are you kidding me? And I'm pretty upset about it. But, like, I remember that wasn't, like, it wasn't heartbreaking because we were still happy to be there and watch the Suns because I'm still a big just fan of the team. Yeah. So I know, like, that sucks so much. And we're a little sad. We get over it. Game starts and kind of back and forth. But soon enough, the Suns are down, like, 20, 30 points, whatever it is, but they're getting pounded. And I can barely take it. And I'm just such a big fan. Looking back, this is ridiculous, but I'm just so upset that they're losing. I'm holding back tears pretty much because I'm just so into them. And I said, I can't watch. I'm bad luck for this team. Like, my first game and they're losing. Like, I can't be here. So we have to, we go upstairs. Mom and Alexander stay.
Yeah, I was enjoying the seats game.
And they were liking it. And I can't take it. So me and Dad have to leave. Not the whole stadium, but we walk up the stairs and we can't, I can't sit there anymore because I'm bad luck for the team. So we spend the next quarter second and a half, almost the whole second half, which is like pretty ridiculous, walking around the stadium, peeking in. Suns are coming back a little bit. We got to keep walking. Like, it's not time to go back. It's working. And I'm checking.
And that was the OCD. Yeah, exactly. Superstitious
one, hey? And I'm checking the TV. I'm like, oh, Suns are still playing well. And like, they're coming back a little bit. And then we're about to go back down. And as I'm coming down, they score again. No, no, I can't go down there. I can't go back to the seat. They're going to score more points if I go down. So we end up, Dad, eventually, enough's enough. And we're like, we paid, what, a few hundred dollars probably to come watch this NBA game. Once in a lifetime thing for us, first game. And I just like, I'm wrecking it because I'm so obsessed that what I'm doing is going to be affecting these NBA players out here. They're going to know that I'm here and something's going to be wrong. So ends up, we ended up missing like the second half. Suns lost. That's all I remember. I remember the Suns lost. I had fun, but like also was just a pretty upsetting ending to to the game and just a ridiculous story of me just taking Dad away and going for a little walk and making him miss the whole second half of the game. And,
but he went with you.
He did. Yeah. Right. He went with me.
Could have been Mom.
Probably should have been Mom, who wouldn't have cared as much. Maybe if she missed some of the action, but it's still it was still fun. I remember it was still a fun time regardless.
Yeah, just we went to other NBA games after that as well.
Do you remember that incident?
Yeah, I remember it a little bit. I was younger, but I also remember Addison, the kind of red face, and then sitting there with Mom for half of the game or so and just kind of watching it. Mom not really knowing what's going on in the game whatsoever.
But. No, I was never a big basketball fan, but was always there to support and be a
partner.
Never
missed
a
game, but she was a good socializer during the game.
Yeah, we shouldn't say that because she liked to go to the NBA games a lot.
Oh yeah, still to this day.
She says she misses them sometimes. She misses like, liked to go and like be a part of the atmosphere and...
Mm-hmm. But we would go to LA Live like for a lot of the Christmases before you got to university.
Yeah,
we would go to the LA Live just to go watch like the Lakers, the Clippers, like whoever. And we would stay like at a hotel kind of right across. And then we got to the point where maybe Mom would come to, I think we went to like one or two, maybe three, like on a trip. And Mom came to one and then we would go by ourselves to just games. We'd just walk across. And
it was lots of fun.
So we would base some trips just strictly off like who was playing and like NBA cities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I know on vacation we would always go find a court. We always tried to play basketball or find a court, just kind of shoot wherever we were. And usually we would end up playing some pickup games there just against some other kids at the park. But we weren't too big. We were pretty like kind of average height. And once they figured out we were from Canada, like from a place called Saskatchewan, Canada, they thought like we would have no idea what basketball even was or anything like that. But then once we started playing a little bit, I think they realized that we could kind of keep up with some of them. So it was always funny to see their reaction once we would start playing. And
yeah, that was good. We'd always play like wherever we would go, which I'm sure your family would do too. We always find a court or find somewhere, and then Dad would always take us there. And we didn't love spending time on the beach, and my mom did though. So she would spend a lot of time just hanging out, but Dad was happy to keep moving like you would be, and he would always want us to stay active. So we would go find a court. Wherever that would be, and we would always play with him, and he was always so great of giving us the rebounds and having fun with us and playing. And then sometimes we'd be playing the 2-on-2, but a few times there's the other dad that's there for the threes.
Yeah.
So we have to get him in the threes, of course. So we go 3-on-3, and Alexander and I are pretty competitive, and so were the other kids. I remember that we would play, but I remember one time we're playing the 3-on-3 and we're matching up, and of course like Dad's got the other adult and we've got the kids, and obviously the dads are probably not moving very fast. They're just passing the kids and having fun, but we're taking it super seriously, trying to beat these guys that we have no idea who they are, but they're good players and we want to play and have fun. And And I remember there's some, like, we switched for some reason, and dad's guarding one of the kids, and he's kind of guarding them, and the kid gets by him, and he goes to the rim, and he puts it up, and he scores, and I stop, and I look at dad, and I said, "Dad, are you kidding me?
Are you letting this kid be?
This guy's 12 years old. He's 12 years old, and he's going to get by you and go to the rim and score like that." And I remember my dad, he was trying to kind of not laugh, but he was like, got out of it with a smirk. He said, "Okay, yep, my bad, bad defense. Like, I'm sorry, guy." And he kind of took the responsibility. And for the rest of the game, I remember he was playing a little harder defense when he switched on to the kids. He was giving him a little more resistance.
Yeah.
But it was funny. We just things like that. We'd always get to go play. And no, we had lots of good memories with
him,
with dad, obviously. Lots of good trips and lots of fun stuff with basketball and our club team, and just lots of great times together. Things that I think about with basketball is that he was obviously a great coach with us. But when I would go to things, just like any kid who's like sometimes, like when he's doing something else that's new or something, like I didn't want my dad around, right? You don't want dad around too much. And we'd go to these tryouts or something. I can vividly remember, I don't know what team it was for, but he wanted to watch. He wanted to hang around and watch, like, and watch. And I was like, "Well, no, like none of the other parents are watching." And he's like, "Well, like, I don't know." Like, and he obviously knew whoever was coaching, and like, it wouldn't have been weird of him there. And I see that now, like looking back, like obviously it would have been fine if he were to hang out a little bit, but it just was so against like my dad, like hanging around when the other parents aren't there. And like, I don't want to be the one kid with my parent there, but obviously looking back, like I definitely could have, but yeah, just some good times.
Yeah, a lot of good times on trips. Loved to travel. When we were younger, I remember on the trips, we would always go to museums with him.
Oh, because
he was big, like history, loved the museums. We went to Ottawa when we were younger. What was it? The Museum of...
War Museum. And
we also went to the Museum of Natural History with him as well.
In New York.
So we went to all these, but me and Addie, right, would just fly through it.
Oh, we hated it.
Like, we would fly through
it. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's...
so fast. And he would try to, like, actually, like, reading the signs. We would, like, look at maybe the sculpture, too, and be like, okay, like, that's
it. And he would obviously, like, on all of our stops, we couldn't go on a trip where we couldn't do something
educational. Yeah,
you have to have that with something. And like, I'm so glad that we did. But of course, when we went and we were young, just the worst part of our trip. And we're just badgering him in the back seat. Like, "No, dad, like we're not going, we're not doing it." And mom's like, she didn't care as much. Like she knew that it was good for us, but she was like, we could kind of get her sometimes. Dad would be looking at
something, and then mom would kind of take us maybe to like the gift shop or maybe a bakery across the street.
Next spot, she's like, "Okay, we better keep moving." Like, kind of keeps us going, or would empathize with us a little bit because she didn't absolutely love it. Loved spending time with us four and doing that, but not as much. And it's kind of ironic now because now obviously we really like going, and we would go on our own. To Ottawa with
you. We spent like 3 hours in the museum.
Oh yeah, we spent so long
just reading
the war museums, and we loved that. Yeah. And we'd go to all the stuff that we can. And we went to New York a few summers. Yeah. We took in everything we could, and
we went to the Museum of Natural History, and we wanted more. Yeah, we went to the 9/11 Memorial, and we wanted more. And we wanted to go to the Met as well. So now we go all the time. But it was funny how back then we'd be so resistant about it and hate it, fly through it so fast, and.
Yeah, just so like, now mom kind of likes when we came with her that one time, she was like a little bit bittersweet, kind of just to now like oh, dad would be so happy that you guys have taken an interest in this now, and not that if we didn't, it's not that if we weren't interested in what he was, it would have been a bad thing, but just the fact that this is where we've come so far from actually appreciating some things outside of just basketball or NBA or. Right. Kind of where we
that
were.
We would base our trips a bit more around museums.
Now and it's changed, but
but now we drag her along and she's ready to go. She'll be done before we are, but now we're taking our sweet old time in there.
You tell her, "Come over here and read this."
You read this, and we're
three more signs, and then we can go to the gift shop.
So, it's changing.
Yeah, that's funny. And with you teaching history now, you know.
Yeah, well, now I feel like I have to know a little bit of stuff. So, like, I better actually pay attention. And I enjoy it, though, like, now with picking up a book or reading. Like, I'd read, my dad, he was reading Team Arrivals, was the last book that he had, that he was working at, and he was liked it. Pretty big book. Have you ever read that one?
No.
Big book. I finished it this summer, and it's a really good book. I liked it. And so now it's like another thing, is him always harping on.
Yeah, we'd have to read 30 minutes a day.
It's always about reading, and I wish I would have stuck with it a little bit or been a little more diligent with it. Instead, we would do anything we could to like get not reading. Read.
Like, put some electronic like Nintendo inside of a book pretending to read for the 30
anything
minutes.
Anything we possibly could, but now I'm like, I like it. And it's like, I don't like it. If I don't, then I'm kind of in trouble. But
yeah, that's right. English history teacher.
Yeah, you better. Yeah, but I'm probably in the wrong profession, but.
Yeah,
I remember even they're trying to get us to read like novels, but finally we'd be so against it that they okayed reading the Sports Illustrated.
Oh yeah.
So we'd be looking through the pictures of the Sports Illustrated and stuff like that. But now you read quite often. I read less, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all switched around, kind of stuff we hated as kids.
Yeah.
Now we enjoy. I remember we went to Florida one time. I think it was Christmas.
We've been to Florida many times, but like one of the times.
We went during Christmas. I think, was it Key West?
Yeah.
We headed down there, and the big plan for Christmas was to go snorkeling. So we're all pretty excited for it. We're going to head down or go on the boat, go out to the reefs and go snorkeling. So we're all really excited for it and everything. We got the scuba suits on, they gave us all the gear. So this was our Christmas Day plans. Like this was we were doing for Christmas. We were looking forward to it as kids and everything.
Yeah.
Then as soon as we got on the boat, started getting out there with the waves. And I think I was getting a little rocky. Kind of.
The boat was rocky.
Yeah, the boat was rocky.
Rocking a little much. Yeah. And we were out there in the waves, and I was able, it was first, I know mom wasn't great with the waves and with the rockiness, and she was getting seasick. So she's having to sit there and just stare off into the horizon, and they're like, stare at the horizon, like, don't look anywhere else, you'll be okay.
Trying desperately not to throw up.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's me, and I'm out there, and I'm looking down, and it's all fun, but then the waves are just so much, and I'm going up and down and bobbing, and I feel sick. So now I'm back on the boat. I'm sitting there also, just staring off in the horizon. So we're getting a little bit of a team of us just hanging out on the boat when we're supposed to be in the water. Yeah. We paid for this big expedition.
Dad was feeling sick as well from the boat ride.
Soon enough, Dad was also, a little under the weather. But he got hit the hardest. I remember he was over the edge.
Really?
Yeah, he was over the edge. And just Alexander's the only one left. And
So they had to get a stranger to come out and watch me the whole time, making sure I was okay.
Because it was just your family on the boat?
It was us four. I think it was. Was it
maybe
just us?
Maybe one of the family, but they were scuba diving and we were just snorkeling.
We were doing snorkel stuff.
So they were out there doing whatever. So we were waiting for them to all get back. And I was just out there, middle of the ocean, doing my thing, staring at the reefs on my stomach. And you guys were all lying on the boat somewhere. So and I wasn't young enough to just, do whatever out in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
Yeah, they had to keep some eyes on you.
Yeah, so the people working the boat were probably thinking, I do not get paid for this, to look after some little kid while he's snorkeling.
And so did you see anything cool when you were snorkeling?
There was like reefs, a lot of
shark
fish.
There's like a
little
sharks.
There were sharks coming right at me.
Send the little kid out in the ocean. There are just a few sharks.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
Yeah.
We eventually made it back, though. We made it back, survived, ended up having the whole afternoon, though. I think we had to go for a nap, I remember, because people were just feeling sick still.
Yeah, I was upset. I was ready to go Christmas Day.
Yeah, Alexander's still ready to have fun, but we all have to go back to the room, had to take a nap, and then by the time we're ready to go and functioning again, everything's closed because it's ending early on Christmas Day.
Right.
So the only thing left was some... was just the hotel like bar, and the only thing they had was key lime pie. So we thought, you know what? We'll have some key lime pie for supper and call it a Christmas Day for us. It was an adventurous one, but it was fun.
Good trip overall.
It's a good memory to have.
We were always amazed at how much your mom did for you and everything. Wondered, I wonder, after Terry does all that stuff for you guys all these years, You know, what are they going to be like when it's their turn to actually have to step up and do it? So how did it go, becoming super responsible and independent?
Well, we still live with mom, so yeah, we'll start off with
we'll saying mom that. Still does lots, but
I haven't got to the moving out stage yet.
Yeah. No, we haven't moved. Yeah.
So is that moving out stage coming up pretty quick?
Maybe for you coming up sooner than me.
That's what they think. That's what they would like to believe, but I'm not moving out.
Anytime soon.
I've got a nice setup at home, but she's at the lake all summer, and we...
the nerve.
Leave us.
I got to do my own laundry.
Yeah, we're taking over. But no, we're kind of... It's been perfect because it's like a slow... adjustment or progression of living on your own. No, it's been good. We've turned out okay for now.
Well, that's how we'll put it.
We don't know yet because we haven't actually been completely out on our own.
Oh, man.
But yeah, she would do a lot. I remember even when we had the SMBA going on, we had Tegan on the team.
Oh, yeah. The Terries. That was our team name.
Yeah, the team name was, since mom had to fill out like everything, the roster, and I think she maybe confused first name and last name of head coach with team name. So we called the Terry Doers.
The Terry Doers. That was the absolute powerhouse.
Yeah, powerhouse of an SMBA team.
Yeah, we had lots of
Tim on the
lots
team.
Lots of good players. Yeah. And it was funny because obviously mom didn't know a ton about basketball and she relied on us heavily to tell her what's good basketball etiquette and are we taking it too far with like some of these games, and not that we were ever rude, but like it wasn't like we had fair teams because we were taking all these good guys from across the city and having them come play with us, and we would beat teams sometimes pretty handily, and mom was always like, is this okay, like are we being a good sports right now, like are we taking it too far, like I don't know. Like, no, it's fine, Terry. Just you stick to bringing those oranges and those nibs for the bench for halftime.
Yeah, it'd be funny. Halftime, the other coach would be bringing out the clipboard, trying to draw plays, taking it pretty seriously. Our halftime, we would sit on the bench. Mom would open up the freshly baked cookies.
Bring them out, Terry.
We'd be snacking on nibs and cookies, oranges. Just at halftime, socializing. While the other team's all huddled around, kind of has the clipboard
and
out.
I think that just hurt even more. If we would win some games, and that's how we were treating it, of just, a nice Saturday morning or afternoon for us with the friends and having some snacks here. Like,
oh, man. What a good sport she is, though. Stepping up to coach when you know, no one else wanted to, or when you needed somebody.
Yeah, needed someone to hang out and. She did a good job.
Oh, yeah. Well, her winning percentage must be astronomical.
Oh, yeah. She's probably the most winningest coach
percentage of SMBA history.
Yeah. She's right up there with the greats. Yeah. Whoever you can think of. That's,
like,
I don't think we lost that year.
Who are some of those greats? Like Dave Pitola? Like
Dave Dirksen?
Well, no. I have a pretty lousy record, actually. But Pitola was a very winning coach.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Probably Lara Farmer.
Lara, you're right.
Lara, huge winner. Yeah. So
Terry Doer.
Terry Doer.
But Terry Doer, number one winning percentage of all time. Well, I mean, you never did lose a game, right?
Perfect record. I don't think so, yeah.
No.
That's as big, that's as good as a chance, that's for sure. But you guys aren't super competitive with each other. On your court in the backyard, do you go pretty hard at one-on-one? Like, you never fought or punched each other. You were good to each other, but did you go pretty hard at each other too?
Yeah,
we
would try hard against each other. We also didn't play actually as much one-on-one as you would think, probably. Like,
no, it used to be two-on-two.
We don't play a ton of against each other. I don't know why. Like, sometimes we would play, but not.
When we were younger, maybe, but ever since, like, grade like 7 for me and you were in high school, like we haven't played
a ton of one-on-one. I don't know,
ever just, since you could beat them, you haven't played a lot.
Exactly. I've just rejected all the invitations after that. I said, we're done with one-on-one, we're never playing again. The jury's still out on who's better.
That's for sure. Sure it is. You just take his right hand away.
That's what I've tried to do.
Like, just
very right hand dominant.
That's been hilarious because I remember, like, you know, like really young, I mean, sure, Alexander can get to his right hand, you know, in, mm-hmm. you know, minis or whatever. But, you know, when he gets a little older, like they're going to take that right hand away. He's better develop his left.
Yeah.
And then in, you know, SNBA as he went up, and then in club, and then in provincial team, and then high school.
Yeah,
you know, scoring 60 points with his right hand. Still going to the right hand. And then I said, well, it's not going to work at the next level.
No.
Except now he gets to his right hand in youth sport. I had to rethink my whole coaching philosophy.
You're like, wait.
Just keep going to your right hand.
Yeah.
They can't stop you. Yeah.
They can't. And just, now even with the Rattlers, you were having some success just going by guys with the right hand.
Yeah. Right hand layups. They didn't read the scouting report.
They're like, this guy, he's just too fast.
And I'm sure you have a good left hand. I've just never seen it. Never,
it's not great.
It's like, never had to.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I'll dribble a few times with the left.
Yeah, just it's over here.
Yeah, just kidding.
Yeah.
It's improved lots, though. Now you're confident, like, going to your left.
And you can finish. If there's, it's not in traffic.
Yeah.
You've hit tough left-hand shots now. You want to be on your right, like most people want to be on their dominant hand.
I just remember someone telling me once, they were just like, might as well be really good at something instead of okay at both. So I was like, fair enough.
That's awesome. Okay, well, thanks.
Yeah, we ran that thing up.
Good, that time just went by like nothing.
That was good talk.
Okay, so now you should say something clever as kind of a sign-off.
What's the Ron Burgundy sign-off?
Good night, Saskatoon.
Stay classy, Saskatoon.
That's right. It's the only sign-off that we know.
Yeah, that's great. I hope you enjoyed the humorous and touching stories shared by Addison and Alexander. It's always a privilege to be given a glimpse into the lives of our storytellers, and there's something very special about the recollections from childhood. Thanks so much for tuning in, and if you do want to get in touch, storiestoldbyfriends@gmail.com. New stories coming soon. See you then.